Second Chronicles 25. And as you're finding that, let me remind you that tomorrow morning our worship here in the lodge begins at 9:30 here at the lodge. And of course, we always enjoy when people come early and wait on the Lord. Everyone's always welcome to do that. Praise God. And we'll have opportunity to wait on the Lord tonight as well, after meeting, as the Lord enables us and leads us. Praise God. But I'd like to talk to you about a king by the name of Amaziah. These stories of the kings are very instructive and great blessing to us. Thank God that he saw fit to put them in his word. And here it speaks about a king who was 25 years old when he became king, Amaziah. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. It gives us his mother's name here. She must have had a real influence in his life that she's mentioned. His mother's name was Jehoadin. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. In the King James, it says, not with a perfect heart. Interesting commentary on his life. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly, not perfectly. There were some areas where he didn't really let God have his way as he should have. You know, the Lord sees when we love him, as we mentioned before. Even if our love is imperfect, he sees the love that we do have for him, and then he deals with us about giving him that love and allowing him to perfect his love in our lives. He sees the works that we do. In the book of Revelation, we read where the Lord says, I see thy works, I see how hard you've labored for me, and he takes notice of those things. Jesus said, even if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you won't lose your reward. God takes notice of these things in our lives. He doesn't wait for them to be perfect before he takes notice of them. But he also sees our lacks and our faults and where we need his help. And so it was with King Amaziah. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. After the kingdom was firmly in his control, he executed the officials who had murdered his father, the king. Now that was customary, to kill those that assassinated the previous monarch and secure your throne in that way. And they would often kill the children also of those that had killed the previous king. But he was a little different there. It says, yet he did not put their sons to death, but acted in accordance with what was written in the law, in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their fathers. Each is to die for his own sin. Interesting that the Bible calls that to our attention, that he killed the men that plotted against his father, but he refrained from taking out vengeance upon their children, because the law of Moses said that the children are not to be punished for the sins of the fathers, but each is to bear their own iniquity. And so he was careful to keep to the word of God there. Amaziah called the people of Judah together and assigned them, according to their families, to commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, for all Judah and Benjamin. So here he mustered up an army now. As king, he strengthened his army. Then he mustered those 20 years old or more and found that there were 300,000 men ready for military service, able to handle the spear and shield. He also hired 100,000 fighting men from Israel for 100 talents of silver. He had in mind to expand his kingdom right away. And so he got his army together, and then he hired soldiers from neighboring Israel. But a man of God came to him and said, "O king, these troops from Israel must not march with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the people of Ephraim. Even if you go and fight courageously in battle, God will overthrow you before the enemy, for God has the power to help or to overthrow." Even though you increase your numbers by hiring these men from Israel to come and do battle with you, he said, you're still going to lose the battle if God's blessing isn't upon you, and God's blessing can't be upon this union. He can't be upon the Israelites and your being in league with them. You know, we really have to be careful about that. I've seen people lose the blessing of God upon their life because of unholy unions that they have entered into. Jesus tells us, or it speaks to us in the epistles, the Apostle Paul warns us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that has a lot more than to do with just marriage. There are other ways in which we can bind ourselves together with people that don't love the Lord, that don't value the same things we value, and it brings a compromise into our life that causes us to forfeit God's blessing. I've told this story before. We had a family in Ridgewood years ago, and they bought a little grocery store, I guess it was, a 24-hour convenience store. And they were excited about purchasing this store and hoping, praying that God would bless it and prosper them. But it turned out that they had bought it with a man who was not saved and who had very different values than they did. And when they spoke to me about that, I talked to them about that verse where it says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I said, you got to be very careful about that. You're going to bind yourself legally with this person. He's going to own the store as much as you do, and he'll have as much to say about what to sell and how to run that store as you do. And you don't want that. But you want to honor God in this venture. And they said, but we've put down so much money already, and we've signed a contract, and so on. And they were very much like Amaziah here. We'll go on to read that when the prophet told him to get rid of these Israelites, God will not bless you as you go out to battle with them. He said, but what about my silver that I paid already? And that was their struggle. They really didn't know how to get out of this thing. And they felt that they had gone too far already, so they determined that they would do the best to serve God under the circumstances. And so one day I decided to drop in and see their little store. And they were surprised to see me, and they walked me into the store. And they told me that this is their end of the store. And they walked me past the beer and the cigarettes and the pornography, and they brought me over to the greeting cards and the little knickknacks. And they said, this is our part of the store. But I had to really wade through a lot of garbage to get to their part of the store. And I felt so bad for them. I know it wasn't an easy thing for them to do. And things have changed, I understand, since then, but it cost them something very dear. And it was so sad to see that compromise that they allowed themselves to enter into because of that unholy union. And you know, we have to, as I say, be careful about that. In our business relationships and in our, how do you say that? Well, in our marriage relationships, we caution our young people Don't get involved with others that are not lovers of Jesus. Settle that right away. You know, you can keep yourself from falling in love with people. I know that they say love at first sight, and sometimes it's love at first fright, but either way, they say it's love. But you know, you have to establish that principle in your life. I'm not going to allow myself to get that close to a person where I become vulnerable if they're not really loving Jesus genuinely and serving Him as they ought to, and as I desire to. So we have to set up those boundaries in our life, and we have to be careful to maintain them. I've seen young people get married to people outside the faith, or people that whose salvation was really questionable. They tried to convince themselves that she was saved or he was saved. They go to church. We talk about God, and as you listen to them talk, you say, you know more about salvation than that. You understand. You're fooling yourself. Maybe you don't say it always to them. You say it to yourself, but it's good to say it to them too. And it just breaks your heart to see them get into those relationships, because there's enough opposition in the Christian life, and there's enough pressures against us and things working against us to serve the Lord, and then to add to it by marrying someone who is of a different understanding, and always having that constant pull, that constant weight to keep you back from being all that you can be for God, going where He wants you to go and doing what He wants you to do. It's tragic when it could have been different and it should have been different. And so, for all you young people who are not yet, as of yet, married, you ought to really take that very seriously. And ask God to give you the person of His choice and in His time, and keep you from making mistakes of serious consequence along these lines. Praise God. And God will do that for us. And you won't want to miss the one that God has for you, because he or she is just the right person. And God will bring about a union that will really glorify Him. And we'll see one day that's all that really matters in life, is that we live for His glory. Well, anyway, getting back to our story, the prophet came to him and told him to send them back. And Amaziah asked the man of God, "But what about the 100 talents I paid for these Israelite troops? What about that money? I paid them 100 talents of silver. That's a lot of money. You want me to just send them home? I know they're not going to give the money back." And the prophet said, "The Lord can give you much more than that. Forget about the money. Let it go. What God's blessing upon your life will enrich you in ways that you can't even imagine. And it's much better to suffer that financial loss or that material loss than to suffer the greater loss of lives and so on, if you're not willing to make that separation." You know, it was said of Judas Iscariot, when he was there, when that lady was pouring this precious ointment upon Jesus, he said, "Why this waste? That money could have been, that ointment could have been sold for so much." He knew the exact amount that was worth, how much he could have got for it if he sold it. And the money could have been given to the poor. And it was said of Judas that Judas knew the cost of everything, but he knew the value of nothing. He knew how much that ointment cost, and he was up in arms about that waste. What a waste to take that expensive perfume that could have been sold and the money given to the poor, and to break it open and pour it on Jesus. But he didn't see the value in that. He didn't see the value in what that woman did. He didn't see that she did something that was much more valuable than the worth of that perfume. And Jesus stood in her defense and said, "Why trouble her?" He said, "She hath wrought a good work on me today. She hath anointed me ahead of time for my burial. The poor you'll have with you all the time. You can take care of them whenever you want to. But I'm not going to be with you much longer. And she has anointed my body for the burial." And here, Amaziah, he was very concerned about what this was going to cost him to obey God, to make this change in my life. What's it going to cost me? And for a moment, he hesitated because of the cost. But thank God he came to his senses and he saw that it was much more valuable to have God's blessing upon his life and kingdom than to hold on to that pile of silver. You know, when you let Jesus have his way in your life, it will cost you something. There's no doubt about that. The Lord does not tell us that serving Jesus is always going to be easy. There's going to be times when he'll call upon you to make some sacrifices, when you'll have to make adjustments in your life that will be difficult, but God will give you the grace to do what he requires of you. And we need to be willing to count the cost and then to give ourselves to him as he requires. Praise God. Because of the greater riches that he offers to us. I remember as a young person, I had found the Lord in my teens. I had some wonderful experiences with him when I was 10, 11, 12. I don't remember the exact year. And then I grew my hair long and started playing the electric guitar. And that was okay, I guess, depending on what I played. But I wandered a bit during those years. And then the Lord got hold of me in a greater way. And I remember when I was in high school, my friends began to invite me. "Come on, Ken, let's go do this. Let's go out tonight. The guys are getting together here or there or whatever." And the Lord had really begun to work in my life. And the Lord made it very real to me that if I go ahead and hang on to my friends and try to please them and go with the crowd, I'm going to lose the blessing of God upon my life. God can't bless that. And I had to come to the conclusion, or I came to the conclusion, that I'd rather have the blessing of God in my life and no friends at all than to have all those friends and lose that touch of God that had become so precious to me. Don't you feel that way too? I'd rather have the blessing. If I have to give up this relationship, if I have to make a change in this situation, if I have to let go of that, I'd rather let go and have the blessing of Jesus upon my life than to hold on to it and lose that precious touch of the Lord. Well, I thank God that God helped me to make some important decisions at that time. I'm not speaking, holding myself up as a perfect example. I can tell you a lot of stories about myself that wouldn't impress you very much at all. And I'm not saying this one should impress you either. But the point is that Jesus wants us to value him above everything. Jesus is all the world to me. And to have his blessing in my life is more important to me than all these other things that are offered to me. I can't compromise. I can't forfeit the blessing of God upon my life. I need that. I need that desperately. And so Amaziah decided to send the Israelites home to suffer the loss and to go forward trusting God with these fewer men to give him the victory over the armies that he was doing battle with. Now the Israelites weren't very happy about that, and they were quite insulted, as a matter of fact. And it says that they plundered Amaziah's towns and killed quite a number of his people when they on their way back to their country there in Israel. And that was something that he had to suffer. That was a consequence of his mistake, but it was a much lesser consequence than he would have suffered had he gone to battle with the Israelites. He would have suffered a much greater defeat. And so he made a wise choice, even though it cost him something. But in the end, it was the better choice to make. Praise God. God will help you with any consequences. God will help you with any difficulties that may result because of choices that you make. And you need to trust him. That when you take a step to obey Jesus, whatever may come your way as a result, God is going to help you. I remember God was dealing with me about something in my life and about making a separation. And then my mind began to play tricks on me. I began to think, well, if I do this, then what if they do that? And I had all these different scenarios playing in my mind. If I do this, what if that happens? And every time I thought of something that could go wrong, the Lord seemed to say to me, well, if that happens, I'll give you grace to get through that. I'll bring you through that. But what if this happens? Well, if that happens, I'll help you with that. You'll get through. You honor me, I'll honor you. And I couldn't come up with any scenario that I didn't come to the conclusion that whatever happens, I know Jesus will help me through. And that helped me then to take away the fear and help me to make certain choices that I needed to make. And so here Amaziah makes the right choice, and even though it cost him something, but it was certainly the right thing to do. And God blessed him then, and he attacked. Amaziah then marshaled his strength and led his army to the Valley of Salt, where he killed 10,000 men in Seir. The army of Judah also captured 10,000 men alive, took them to the top of the cliff and threw the men alive. Took them to the top of the cliff and threw them down so that all were dashed into pieces. Meanwhile, the troops that Amaziah had sent back and are not allowed to take part in the war raided Judean towns from Samaria to Beth Horon. They killed 3,000 people, carried off great quantities of plunder. When Amaziah returned from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought back the gods of the people of Seir. He set them up as his own gods, bowed down to them, and burned sacrifices to them. The anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent a prophet unto him. Did I read right? You almost want to look at that again. This man made a very costly decision in order to have the blessing of God upon him and his kingdom. And God did bless him. God honored his choice. And after God gives him the victory over his enemies, he takes their gods from their country and brings them back into his land and begins to bow down and worship these gods as his own. How can that be? What went wrong? You know, there's something about take heed, ye that think ye stand, take heed lest ye fall. You know, sometimes we can get lifted up by the blessing of God. The blessing of God is never given to us to lift us up and exalt us. It's always given to us because of the mercy of God. It's because God loves us. And it ought to, if it really accomplishes what God sets it out to, the blessing of God upon our life ought to bring us down and ought to cause us to humble ourselves before God. When God blesses us, we ought to say, oh God, thank you. I didn't deserve that. I know I didn't deserve that, Lord, but I'm so thankful that you were so kind to me and so merciful to me, and you blessed me and helped me in that way. It's so important that when God blesses us, that we acknowledge that the blessing had nothing to do with us. Sometimes you you have to just make a conscious effort to acknowledge that. If there's any blessing, it came from the Lord, it didn't come from me. And we have to humble ourselves before God and thank Him for the help that He gives. And if we're not careful to do that, we'll find that we'll begin to attribute God's blessing to ourselves. We'll begin to think that we're something special, that the reason people got blessed was because of me. And that is a very dangerous place to be in. Brother Edwin used to tell the story of a pastor who was very careful to give God the glory. And he was very concerned about not being lifted up in his heart. And one day he preached a sermon and God blessed. And after the sermon, he went to the back to greet the people. And one person really flattered him and said, "You know, that was an excellent talk. I never heard a talk on that book or that subject like you gave. That was extraordinary." And he said, "Well, I know that the devil told me that as soon as my sermon was over. The devil already told me that before I got to you." The devil made him to think that he had done something extraordinary, and it was really a wonderful talk, and he recognized it was the devil, and he just humbled himself and acknowledged God's help. And we need to do that. Sometimes people will come to you and they'll say, "Oh, you were such a blessing, thank you." And I've tried to do that to people. I thank them. It's right to thank people and express your appreciation. And then sometimes I say, "Oh, no, it wasn't me, it was the Lord." And then you're sort of embarrassed that you even said thank you. Well, I don't know that how you need to go about it, but it's good for us to acknowledge that any good that is in us and anything that's accomplished, it's the hand of God. But Amaziah must have attributed this blessing somehow to himself, even to his consecration. Well, if because I consecrated myself to God and I was willing to pay such a great price to go ahead and follow the Lord's command through His prophet, that's why God was able to bless me. You know, it comes in such subtle ways. We think that because of our choices, because of our consecration, because we're willing to pay a price, because of the sacrifices we make, we do something spiritual, and then we get proud about what we've done. And we're in a worse place than when we first started. And you see that in Amaziah. He attributed the blessing of God, the victory of God, to himself, and perhaps to the consecration, the choice that he made there concerning the soldiers of Israel. And in that careless, prideful attitude, he allowed himself to come under deception, and he reached out and took hold of these gods and brought them home to worship. And it says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. And rightly so. And it burned against him. And he sent a prophet to him who said, "Who do you consult this people's... Excuse me. Why do you consult this people's gods who could not save their own people from your hand?" He came into the presence of the king and he had a word from the Lord. He said, "Why are you praying to gods who were not able, or were not strong enough to deliver their people from you? And you're praying to their God." Doesn't make any sense. Prophet Isaiah speaks about that. He talks about the darkness and the deception that enter into the mind and the hearts of these idol worshippers. He said, here's a man, he takes a tree and he cuts it down. And then he takes his log and he cuts it in half. And he says, with one half, he throws it in the fire and he cooks his meal over that fire. And with the other half, he builds a god. And he bows down and worships the god. He says, does that make any sense? Out of the same piece of wood, you made some food for yourself and started a fire so you could feed yourself. And with the other half of the wood, you bow down and say, you're my God. Well, that seems ridiculous to us. Sister Esther Cedad, I speak to her every once in a while, and she was a missionary to India for many years. And she told the story that when she went to India, when she first went there, she went into a shop, and there was an idol up on a shelf, and it had a blanket wrapped around it. And she asked, she said, how come that idol has a blanket around it? He said, oh, I'm keeping my God warm. She said, you have to keep your God warm and take care of him? Yes. Excuse my accent. And she said, that's interesting. She said, my God does that for me. The God that I serve takes care of me. I don't have to take care of him. But your idols, these idols that you worship, you have to take care of them. Something wrong with that? I guess so. Well, anyway, he brought these idols back and he began to pray to them, and God sent his prophet to rebuke him and make him to see the folly of his ways. And it says that while he was speaking, the king said to him, have we appointed you an advisor to the king? Stop. Why be struck down? The king wouldn't listen to him. He said, who asked you? What gives you the right to come in here and talk to me like that? Are you one of my advisors? You're not in my cabinet. I didn't appoint you. I'm not seeking advice from you. And the prophet said, the prophet stopped. And he said, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. And I imagine then the prophet left. I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have closed your heart to the word of God. You don't receive it. And if you close your heart to the word of God, there's no hope for you. The word of God. It's our life. If we close our heart to God's word, there's no hope for us. We need God to speak to us. We need to hear from him. We need to keep our hearts in the place where we can hear the Lord and where we can be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And if we don't see our need of that and we get careless along those lines, we're in danger, in grave danger. And here there's just such a shocking story when you think about a man who started out very well, but he didn't serve the Lord with all his heart. There were some things that he just wouldn't surrender. There were some attitudes and so on that he held on to. There were portions of God's word that he was very careful to obey, and other portions where he was very careless. And when I think of Amaziah, I think, you know, he's not so different than us. You know, we can see it in other people easier than we see it in ourselves, but we wonder sometimes, how is it that person is so careful and they're so strict about this thing, but they're so careless about this other thing in their life? It doesn't make any sense. There's an inconsistency there. And, you know, they won't allow this in their life, and they're so, you know, strong about this thing, and then they go here, and then they do that. I just say, how come they don't see there's anything that there's something wrong with that? And we've got these blind spots in our lives, and God would like to deliver us, rescue us from those blind spots. Often we need to pray, Lord, show me the things that I can't see about my life. Lord, let your word search me. Speak to me, Lord. Help me to hear the things that I naturally am not inclined to hear. And then we need to spend time with God and give him a chance to do it. It's not enough to just pray like that. You've got to spend time with God, and you've got to spend time in His Word and give God a chance to speak to you. Give God a chance to show you what He wants to show you. And that's often where we fail. We don't give God the time that He needs in our lives. There's so much He would like to show us. There's so much He would like to reveal to us. There are so many things that He would like to warn us about, and so many pitfalls that He would like to help us to avoid. But we don't give Him the time to show us. If Amaziah would have taken that word like he took the other word, this story would have ended very differently. But everything is downhill from here. And as you read the rest of the story, you see that Amaziah now goes and picks a fight with somebody else. He's really full of himself, and he goes to prove that he's invincible, and he suffers great defeat, and eventually is killed, and his life ends so tragically, and it's because he closed his heart to God's word. What is your attitude toward the Word of God? When you hear the Word of God, do you really pay attention? Do you really open your heart before the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me tonight. When we come to the house of God, do we come with that attitude? Lord, speak to me tonight. Help me to hear what You want to say to me. Help me to understand what I need to get hold of tonight in my life. Sometimes we hear the Word of God preached, and we can think of 10 other people that we wish were here to hear that because they really need it. But you know, it's always good to take the Word of God into your heart first of all and say, Lord, how does this apply to me? I read somewhere where a person wrote that the Bible does not teach you how anybody else is supposed to live. It only teaches you how you're supposed to live. Well, you understand what I mean by that. That should be our attitude. The Word of God is given to me and to speak to me, first of all, and to teach me how to live. And then we ought to pray, Lord, if there's any resistance in my heart to Your Word, if there's any areas where I'm not willing to obey as I ought to, God, I pray that You will help me there. Break down that resistance and give me an obedient spirit. I heard somebody pray today, oh God, make us more obedient to You. I want to obey You perfectly. I want my life to be all obedience, not like King Amaziah who served the Lord and did that which was right in God, but not with a perfect heart. I want my heart to be perfect. We need to humble ourselves before God and pray that way. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, let's see here. He spoke of the parable of the sower. And he said in the Gospel of Luke, it says that the seed that fell upon good ground were those that received the seed into a good and honest heart. The Gospel of Luke is the only gospel that mentions that word honest there. You've got to be honest with yourself and with God when you receive His Word, when you hear His Word. You have to lay aside all your excuses and stop trying to defend yourself and convince yourself that you're doing right. And you have to just say, Lord, I want to be honest with You. Am I doing this as I ought to? Am I fulfilling as I really ought to? Is it just on the outside, but it's not right on the inside? Lord, make it all that You want it to be. And we find that when we really learn to take God's Word seriously, and we really spend time letting God speak to us and really getting the sense of the Scripture, the truth of the Scripture into our hearts, we find that God is able to keep us true to Him. And God is able to bring us from one victory to another. And we don't have to fear that will come under the same deception as other people have. But we can trust him to guide us into all truth and to keep us in the way that we ought to go. And so I'd like to encourage us tonight to approach the Word of God with this attitude, with this fear of God in our hearts, and to ask God to help us to really have the right attitude toward his Word. And when God blesses us, when he helps us to obey, and he blesses us, help us to be very careful to give him the glory and not to attribute any of that blessing to ourselves. Help us to fear losing the blessing of God and to stay low at Jesus' feet and to just keep growing in his Word and letting his Word grow in us. Praise God. It doesn't have to end up with us as it did with Amaziah if we'll do what God tells us to do. And we'll learn our lesson from his life. Praise God. And I know that I'm speaking to people that love the Word of God. That's why we're here. And we're learning to love it more and more. You can't separate Jesus from his Word. Jesus is that Word. And if I love Jesus, I'm going to love his Word. And I'm going to want to obey him and please him in all that I do. And we find that as we go on serving him, there's a cry in our hearts, oh, Jesus, I want to please you more. I want to obey you better. And I want everything in my life to show forth your glory, your honor, your praise. God will do that for us. Let's have faith and let's be diligent about the Word of God and applying it to our lives as we ought to. God bless you.